say a prayer?
Yeah.
Our God and Son and Holy Spirit, amen. Our God, as we celebrate Mass today, we help us Mass from people, and as you would be with all those, everyone really who's separated from Mass right now, we pray that you would be with them in a special way. Pray for all those who might be sick or living in fear or anxiety, that you would comfort them in all these things. Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Do you give me a
yeah, I'm on the side. Just be out of camera.
Tell me when to say it, Bill.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
My brothers and sisters, as we gather this day, this fourth Sunday of Lent, let's take this moment to begin this Mass by acknowledging our sins and asking God's mercy and forgiveness.
Lord Jesus, you raise the dead to life in the Spirit. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you bring pardon and peace to the sinner. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you bring light to those in darkness. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Let us pray. O God, who through your word reconcile the human race to yourself in a wonderful way, grant, we pray, that with prompt devotion and eager faith, the Christian people may hasten toward the solemn solemnities to come. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the first book of Samuel. The Lord said to Samuel, "Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem, for I have chosen my king from among his sons." As Jesse and his sons came to the sacrifice, Samuel looked at Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is here before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not judge from his appearance or from his lofty stature, because I have rejected him. Not as man sees does God see, because man sees the appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart." In the same way, Jesse presented seven sons before Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Then Samuel asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" Jesse replied, "There is still the youngest who is tending the sheep." Samuel said to Jesse, "Send for him. We will not begin the sacrificial banquet until he arrives here." Jesse sent and had the young man brought to them. He was ruddy, a youth handsome to behold, and making a splendid appearance. The Lord said, "There, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel, with the horn of oil in his hand, anointed David in the presence of his brothers, and from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In verdant pastures he gives me repose. Beside restful waters he leads me. He refreshes my soul.
The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want.
He guides me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil, for you are at my side, with your rod and your staff that give me courage.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
You spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. Try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the fruitless works of darkness. Rather, expose them, for it is shameful even to mention the things done by them in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is," but others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." So they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He replied, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went there and washed and was able to see." And they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man, "What do you have to say about him since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. They asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How does he now see?" His parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now." nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age, he can speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, he is of age, question him. So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He replied, if he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind, and now I see. So they said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? They ridiculed him and said, you are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from. The man answered and said to them, this is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything. They answered and said to him, you were born totally in sin, and are you trying to teach us? Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered and said, who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he. He said, I do believe, Lord, and he worshiped him. Then Jesus said, I came into this world for judgment so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind. Some of the Pharisees who were there with him heard this and said to him, surely we are not also blind, are we? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, we see. So your sin remains. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Dear brothers and sisters, what is the Lord trying to say to us through the scriptures today? The story from the first book of Samuel has always struck me. I can so easily imagine the scene where Samuel's there. He's coming to anoint the new king, and he sees all these older brothers of David, and he says, ah, this one, he looks pretty good. He looks pretty much like a king. I think this may be this one. And yet, what does the Lord say? The Lord says, hold on there, not that one. I haven't chosen that one. The Lord sees to the heart. He says, do not judge from his appearance or from his lofty stature, because I have rejected him. Not as man sees, does God see. Because man sees the appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart. I think this is so important for us as Christians. In some way, it flies in the face of what we see all around us and what our world really operates on. We, that is humanity, we see by appearances. We look at the externals. We are constantly sizing one another up, aren't we? We're looking at one another, making judgments, comparing ourselves. We measure our qualities against those around us. It's easy to do that. So easy. But this is not how God sees. He isn't fooled by our looks, by our posturing. He doesn't get taken in by our displays. He sees right to the heart. So often I find myself hiding my heart from God, or even from myself. I can so quickly begin to live in a false reality, one which I create. There's a movie that came out when I was, I think in college or maybe in high school, called Shallow Hal. It's about a guy who, in the beginning of the film, he pretty much goes around and makes judgments on people. He's a pretty shallow guy. That's the title of the movie. So he judges everyone by their appearance, He's always looking to get ahead. But his life is really pretty shallow. There's not much to it. And because of this lack of depth, he doesn't have any really good relationships in his life. During the film, he gets hypnotized at one point, and after this experience of being hypnotized, he basically gets this ability to see to the heart. He sees the heart of a person. And he loses interest in all the people that he formerly associated with, because they were all shallow people. And now he's interested in a different group of people who have a beautiful heart. The plot turns when the hypnosis wears off, and then he has to decide, how am I going to live now? Who am I going to follow? What am I going to do? Am I going to follow the shallow thing that on the outside looks good, or am I going to live by the appearances of the heart? How important is this lesson for us? Are we trying to be authentic in who we are, to show to people who we really are, and not some alternate virtual reality of who we make ourselves out to be, or what we want others to see? I think this is very hard in a world that constantly encourages us to attain some status or appear in a certain way. I think that's at the heart of much of the social media that we have today. A lot of good things right now, a lot of things that I'm doing are on social media, so thank goodness for it. But it can so easily become this thing where I create a mask of who I am that I live behind. We construct ourselves and show ourselves only in an airbrushed and perfect way. We're terrified that people would see who we really are, and if that happened, that they would not love us, they wouldn't like us, they wouldn't associate with us. It's a difficult way to live. We all want to be accepted for who we are. To put on an alternate identity is exhausting and not fulfilling. Why does God choose David? Because David is authentically himself. In today's reading, he's a youth, ruddy and handsome, but it wasn't these qualities that drew the Lord to him. It was David's heart that the Lord approved of. Here's a man who lived in an authentic way, no duplicity in him. We know that later, David will make many mistakes. He commits adultery. He murders. He's tempted to find solace and status in his wealth and his power. But in the end, he remains in relationship with the Lord and repents of his wrongdoings. In the gospel today, Jesus heals a man who was born blind. And this long narrative plays with this theme of sight and blindness. On the one hand, you have the Pharisees, who say they can see, and yet they are blind to see Jesus. They don't recognize him. Here is the Messiah right before them, and they don't see him for who he really is. Rather, they see a man who's a sinner. He healed on the Sabbath. They completely miss the boat. What good are all their religious practices if in the end, it doesn't help them see Jesus and recognize him for who he really is? They don't see the heart. On the other hand, we have the blind man who is touched by Jesus, and now he sees. He's not only able to see physically with his eyes, he's able to recognize Jesus as the Messiah. He says, this is what is so amazing when he's speaking to the Pharisees. He's kind of going back and forth with them. He says, this is what's so amazing, that you do not know where he, that is Jesus, where he is from. Yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything. So he sees very clearly who Jesus is. The evangelist, John, today, is trying to help us reflect on how we see or we don't see. Are we the Pharisees who insist that we see rightly, but we are actually blind? Or do we admit that we are dependent on Jesus to see rightly, that we need to be touched by him in order to see? We need to be healed. God sees to the heart. How do we see? I think part of seeing the heart is being authentically ourselves and allowing our hearts to be seen. It is prudent, of course, to be able to protect ourselves, to be cautious who we let into our hearts. But it's utterly foolish and dissatisfying to think that we can have intimacy without seeing the hearts of others, or without revealing our own heart. Our failure to be vulnerable, our need to always have control or create our own identity on our own merits or in a way that suits us, often seems to promise us that we can live on our own terms, by our own rules. But it ends up keeping us from attaining the very thing we desire, which is to see the heart and allow our hearts to be seen. In this time when we are coming to terms with the reality that so many of the things in our lives are not under our control, it may be good for us to reflect upon the fact that God sees the heart. What is He seeing in your heart?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We now present our petitions to our Heavenly Father.
For the Holy Father, Pope Francis, and for his intentions, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For Father Jim, our diocesan administrator, and for the man who will become our next bishop, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those serving in government and all those in authority, that they may guide us with wisdom, prudence, and justice, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all those working in any capacity, in health care, or in any other vocation deemed necessary to serve the community, may they and their families be protected, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all those who are homebound, especially those who are alone, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who are now or will become sick, for healing and faith, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who have died, that they may rest in peace, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. Good and gracious Father, we entrust our needs to you this day. We ask that you hear our prayers, for we offer them through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our Lord is great, our Lord is greater.
my brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father.
May the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hands for the praise and glory of his name, for our good and the good of all his holy church.
We place before you with joy these offerings, which bring eternal remedy, O Lord, praying that we may be faithfully revere them and present them to you as is fitting for the salvation of all the world, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. By the mystery of the Incarnation, he has led the human race that walked in darkness into the radiance of faith, and has brought those born in slavery to the ancient sin through the waters of regeneration to make them your adopted children. Therefore, all creatures of heaven and earth sing a new song in adoration, and we with all the hosts of angels cry out, and without end we acclaim.
Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
You are indeed holy, O Lord, the font of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me."
Mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord,
and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death, the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Francis our Pope and all the clergy. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles, and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life, and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
Savior's command and informed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
My Jesus, I believe that you are in the Blessed Sacrament. I love you above all things, and I long for you in my soul. Since I cannot now receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. As though you have already come, I embrace you and unite myself entirely to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, who enlighten everyone who comes into this world, illuminate our hearts, we pray, with the splendor of your grace, that we may always ponder what is worthy and pleasing to your majesty, and love you in all sincerity, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit. Bow down for the blessing.
Look upon those who call to you, O Lord, and sustain the weak. Give life by your unfailing light to those who walk in the shadow of death. And bring those rescued by your mercy from every evil to reach the highest good. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Go and announce the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
There's the Lord, yes, he...